This is the American Ag Network Week in Review. In the show today, Rusty Halvorsen gets us caught up on the week's top news.
We begin this week by visiting with Mike Miner of Professional Ag Marketing. He and I visited about that move below zero into negative territory on spot crude oil prices earlier this week.
You know, it is a very foreign concept because we haven't really seen it before in the crude oil market. Now, yesterday was a very historical event watching them drop below zero, you know, Rusty, like you said, but it's not the first time we've seen that type of thing in energies in general. So we've seen that type of trading before involving electricity and natural gas. So you know, what we're seeing is rebalance is just the key. And the market movements in crude yesterday was to just strictly send a message. The message was to all oil producers to just basically say, stop. Stop producing oil. Stop doing everything. We need to get this under wrap. The coronavirus, its impacts on demand so far have well outweighed whatever production cuts have taken place up until this point. May futures completely dislocated themselves yesterday from the following months. And we saw June try to follow suit today, you know, narrowing that gap between the May and the July there. So it's trying to normalize things a little bit with where the cash market is. But, you know, starting yesterday in America here, we saw offers in the cash market as low as $2. And even up into Canada there, we were talking about negative values before that. And with the contract expiring now today, that's why we saw that squeeze. But, you know, $40 yesterday, it was a squeeze. It was well overdone, and it was to send a message. It was just to send a message.
Yeah, Rusty. Yeah. Now, in USDA's latest WASD report earlier this month, USDA cut the forecast for corn used for ethanol. Now, given this new development, and even before this new development, more cuts possibly coming, do you think, Mike, when it comes to corn usage for ethanol?
Yeah, so to go back to crude, the squeeze mm-hmm. we saw there, you know, it was overdone on the day, but the next commodities in line with risk to their balance sheet because of the coronavirus is ethanol and corn, which are directly related with each other. Mm-hmm. And to see long-term damage come in that ethanol market, we're going to have to see some mandates cutting for blending, you know, see some of that not take place going forward. We'll watch for that to see the long-term impact of what will happen to this ethanol market. But in their last report, they cut out 375 million bushels month over month from it. We're needing to average over 91 per week right now for corn used for ethanol usage. And last week we saw around 56 million bushels were all that were used for ethanol grind. And that's about 35 million bushels off pace that we need to really stay where that number is at five billion bushels. So we should see that number continue to decline here over the next WASD report, maybe even two if this continues to be a longer-term problem going into the summer time frame. But honestly, production has fallen a lot here, and stocks still managed to climb last week, even with that production cut. So I don't think it'll stall any time out soon, but I'm expecting that number to probably fall below 5 billion bushels used for corn.
Okay. Now, we're getting the planters ready to roll, and you also farm, Mike. Now, some of these recent developments, is it going to change any minds on what we're going to do for acreage? Are we kind of, you know, this is a very broad question, but do you think we're still setting our plans? Are we going to go ahead, or do you think more will shift to maybe wheat, soybeans? What are your feelings, Mike?
I would believe so. I think farmers are trying to continue, you know, weather outlook is favorable. They're just trying to get by and get in the field and forget about the markets for a little bit here like they do most years anyways.
Yeah,
and,
which would be nice.
It would, right? It really would. And I think they're going to take that to their advantage. And it's been a while since they've been able to be out and about anyways with all the social distancing going on and whatnot. They're excited to get out and enjoy some nice weather anyways. And honestly, if a farmer can plant, the farmer's going to plant, right? So the next thing is, what are we seeing for acres? Seeing a lot of acres change from corn to soybeans and even some wheat we're talking about, but it's a little bit harder if you got high rent costs to make the wheat work. So guys are trying and running numbers on about everything. But the nice part about this time of the year is rents are paid. You don't have a lot of expenses coming at you over the next couple months. So people can just store the grain and, forget about it from that point on. And that's the nice part, right? Crude oil, you can't really store that well. And, it's a finite storage capacity there when it comes to oil. You can't just dump it on the ground and hope for the next year, like you can with corn. So that is the nice part. Guys will just say, to keep some optimism in this thing, let's throw some acres on the ground, and we'll just wait until the price goes up. And I think today, anyways, we are seeing some of those 97 million corn acres switch over to other commodities.
Yeah. Now, Mike, you've been in the biz for a while, and the next question that I wanted to offer to you, in the current environment, how do you encourage the folks that you work with in some of your discussions during these times, and what keeps you encouraged, Mike?
Well, like we talked about before, the government is setting aside some money for the ag sector to get things kind of going, keep things flowing. So that is one thing guys are trying to talk about a little bit more. It isn't going to make up for all that is lost, but it'll help a little bit anyways. And just kind of the next phase of the MFP, one could say. And a lot of producers, they've unloaded last year's crop already, so that's helped a little bit on to move on to next year. And then just opportunities in 2021. I mean, guys are looking out there and seeing a little bit better, a little bit more optimism than they are in the 2020 crop year here. So like we talked about before, you can throw corn on the ground and wait for a while. And I think a lot of farmers will go back to that and try to wait this out. The coronavirus is probably going to be more of a short-term demand problem here that we're experiencing. So we should see things start to get back to normal by the time fall comes around. And by that time frame, it'll be pretty good to own a bin, I think most guys are thinking.
Okay. Mike Miner, Professional Ag Marketing Incorporated. Mike, if a potential client would like to reach out to you after our hearing our conversation, would like to maybe pick your brain or do some business, is there a good way to get a hold of your company, Mike?
Yeah, so we're a Professional Ag Marketing. We're a row crop and lean hog and livestock risk management service, and you can get a hold of us on our website at professionalagmarketing.com or give my cell phone a call at 605-480-4171.
Elsewhere this week, a limited group of soybean growers using LLG27 soybeans will soon have access to a corresponding HPPD herbicide, BASF's Elite 27 herbicide. We visited with Kate Greif, product manager for BASF. Thanks for your time today, and we're going to talk about a new product that BASF is offering in the toolbox for soybean growers this year, and it relates to LibertyLink GT27 soybeans. Can you give us a little rundown of what you got going on?
Absolutely, Rusty. I'd be happy to. Elite 27 is a new herbicide we just received federal registration for, and it's specific to that LibertyLink GT27 soybean acre. So it is an HPPD herbicide, and it's ready for the tolerance on those LibertyLink GT27 soybeans. So it's very specific to those soybeans, but it brings a completely new mode of action to those trait acres. So the benefit of LibertyLink GT27 soybeans is they have tolerance to glufosinate or Liberty, and then to glyphosate, and then as well to this new herbicide, Elite 27.
Now, it's a restricted-use pesticide. The EPA has approved its use for a limited geography in certain counties, and some of those counties are in South Dakota and other counties around the nation, too. But a full release next year, but a very limited release for the time being. Is that correct?
That's correct. So for this year, we're doing a demo release. We just recently received federal registration, and in light of the events of the season, we're doing some demo trials this year to get the product out and take a look at it. We will have a full launch next year into those label counties, as you alluded to. So as part of the registration for this product, it went through an EPA assessment on endangered species. And the result of that assessment is we have approval for labeled counties in certain parts of South Dakota, and access to what counties are enabled or labeled are available on elite27herbicide.com or in the appendix of the label.
Okay. Okay. So what are some of the benefits to soybean growers by using this product with their LLGT27 soybeans?
Yeah. So when they're planting a Liberty Link GT27 soybean, the benefits that Elite 27 brings to that system, first and foremost, it's a completely new herbicide of action for soybeans. So we've used HPPDs historically in corn, and we know kind of what they're very broad spectrum. They bring good residual. But this is the first time we have access to that technology in soybeans. And what's unique about Elite 27, specifically for those Liberty Link GT27 soybeans, is the active ingredient brings what we call recharge. So when we get an activating rainfall, our herbicides work. But up until that point, weeds have the opportunity to emerge. What's unique about Elite 27 is when you do get that rainfall, we call it recharge, it can pull back some of those weeds that have maybe emerged between your herbicide application and getting that first rain. So that's one of the things that's unique about it. The other piece of it is we do see very consistent residual control out of it. The reactivation brings part of that, but also its spectrum on key broadleaves like water hemp and palmer, as well as a wide spectrum of grasses. We do see consistent residual. And then finally, like I mentioned, this is a new technology for soybeans. So it does bring a component of resistance management to farmers and the fact that we have a new technology we can use in our soybean acres.
One of the biggest challenges facing growers is resistant weeds. And as we say, this is a new tool that BASF is bringing to the forefront. So you've got to be excited about the product for this season on a limited basis for those select counties. And again, next year we expect a full approval for the country. Is that correct?
Next year we expect to have product ready and available for sale. Mm-hmm. As we go forward, we're looking at expanding that list of labeled counties based on going through a mitigation process for endangered species. So things like adding buffers to the label, nozzle restrictions, tank mix partners, things we've seen very similar with the other new trait technologies in the marketplace.
Okay. And again, where should growers go, Kate, to find out if their county qualifies, so to speak, for use of this new product?
Yep. They can either visit the appendix of the label, mm-hmm. which is available online, or elite27herbicide.com. And then finally, if they've got questions, they can always talk to their local BASF representative.
Okay. And we should say that Elite 27 is spelled ALITE27.
I just want to make sure we're clear that for next year as well, mm-hmm. the counties will still be limited to what's labeled. So that's part of the process for getting the herbicide registered, is we are restricted to certain counties. And that's a little bit unique compared to how herbicides have come to the market historically.
Obviously, BASF working very closely with the EPA, that we're doing this in a responsible manner as we introduce this new product.
Yep. Part of the introducing Elite 27 is the stewardship, not only of the chemistries we are using in the market today, but also the viability of, I'd say, the industry overall, and protecting those endangered species while also bringing new tools to farmers and finding that balance between the two.
That's what's happening in agriculture. I'm Rusty Halverson.
This has been the American Ag Network Week in Review. Thanks for listening. Join us again next week.